deceived, neither the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God, nor fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and Jesus is coming soon. Get a copy of Seduction of the Saints, your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. The Return, your gift of $12 and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Randy Engel. And Randy really is an amazing woman. She's been working in the pro-life movement for many years. But back, I'll let her tell you the story of Dr. Dunnigan, because I think it's an amazing story. There are very, very few times when people who are on the inside of what's really going on reveal what the future holds. And the story you're going to hear tonight is truly incredible. We have a four-tape set that records this and a transcript, but I'm going to let Randy tell you the story of how it all came about. Good evening, Randy. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, good evening, Dr. Stan. The speech that I'm going to be talking about was really historic. It's the talk, it's the talk of Dr. Richard L. Day, who gave this talk more than 40 years ago. He gave it to the Pittsburgh Pediatric Society on March 20th, 1969. More than 80 pediatricians were in attendance. And his talk was titled, Family Planning, Infant Mortality, Gene Frequency, Abortion, and Other Considerations. Now, this was rather strange because Dr. Day was a specialist in neonatal care, so obviously the pediatricians thought he was going to talk about something in his field. But rather than talking about neonatal care, Dr. Day talked about what he called a new world system. And he said that this system was already in place and functioning so that we could enter the 21st century with a running start.
And he really attributed this to something called, he called it the order, didn't he?
Well,
did he give it a name, do you recall?
He called it the New World System, although
right.
Today I think we really understand it more in terms of the New World Order. Now, in that audience was a Dr. Larry Dunnigan. He was a student of Dr. Day's when Day was a teaching professor of pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. And when he started to hear what Dr. Day was talking about, Dr. Dunnigan had the presence of mind to grab a whole stack of paper napkins and start taking notes, and he started to take notes. Now, this was despite the fact that Dr. Day made it quite clear at the very beginning of his talk that there was to be no recordings of the conversation, there was to be no note-taking, and if people stated certain things that he said he would simply deny them, which was a curious way to begin a speech. But it was really quite clear soon into his speech that this man was talking as an insider, I would say a member of what is commonly called the Eastern Establishment, with close ties to the Rockefellers. In fact, the Rockefeller name in connection with the Rockefeller Institute was the only proper name that he ever used throughout the talk. But if your listeners are, you know, if they're attuned to the trilaterals and the Bittelbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, or if they've ever read Professor Carol Quigley's tome called Tragedy and Hope, in which he discusses the New World system, they have a fairly good idea of who are the unseen masters behind this New World system.
Hang on, we'll be right back in just a moment with Randy Engel. Go right ahead, Randy.
Well, let's start, Stan, with some of the preliminary remarks that Dr. Day used to kind of set the scene. First, he immediately said that by way of clarification, he wasn't talking about communism, but he said it was something much larger. The system was global. It included communism, but wasn't exclusive of communism. He said that... He used the term throughout the two-hour talk, the term population control. Now, to Dr. Dunnigan, who was sitting there listening, he normally associated population control with things like abortion, contraception, sterilization. But he said it really was clear that population control means simply people control and control of every aspect of daily life. And as the listener absorbs here what Dr. Day was saying, it becomes quite clear that all our lives will be affected by the so-called New World System. The hallmark of the New World System, according to Dr. Day, would be change. Nothing would be permanent. Traditions, whether they be ethnic, religious, morals, or relationships, especially marriage, they would have to be set aside to make room for the new changes that would be really directed almost exclusively at youth, because he said older people were already too set in their ways. So then he talked about having to distinguish between two reasons. If the New World Order masters wanted to bring about a certain activity, the first reason they would give would be the ostensible reason. That is, the reason normal people would accept. But the real reason, that was known only to the managers and controllers, this would not generally be known, at least at the beginning, because if the populace knew the real reason for the activity, they would reject it. And lastly, as part of his preliminary remarks, he talked about the manipulation of public opinion, which was absolutely critical in population control. He said most people think in terms of words, hence politically correct jargon would be of extreme importance. He said that the New World System managers, they know how normal people will react in any given circumstance. So all one had to do is control the flow of information people receive, and then they can get them to do anything they want to do. And lastly, he just
said... Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Randy Engel, and she's talking about what Dr. Richard Day had said back there in 1969. He was talking about this organization worldwide. It included communism, but it wasn't communism. Communism was just part of it. And it was a plan to really change the world. Of course, they couldn't tell the people what was going on because the people would reject it. But there was a plan by an elite to modify the world. So you pick up the story there, Randy.
Well, I think the remarkableness of this Day talk is not so much in the incredible predictions that he made, but the fact that these predictions were made by one man, one place, at one time. And it was obvious, as I said earlier, this was a man who obviously was well connected to the New World Order or New World System, although probably not at the highest level. Not surprisingly, because of his connection, he was medical director, national medical director of Planned Parenthood between 1965 and 1968. So, comes at no surprise that one of his major overall themes was the danger of overpopulation and the necessity of eliminating the unfit. And so he said the New World System would usher in an era of sex without reproduction and reproduction without sex. Okay, let's start with sex without reproduction. 3 months before, excuse me, just 9 days before Day made his speech, a man by the name of Frederick Jaffe, who was vice president of Planned Parenthood, sent a memorandum over to Bernard Berenson at Rockefeller's Population Council. And this was a chart on measures to reduce U.S. fertility. And among the social constraints listed in this Berenson-Jaffe memo were, one, increase homosexuality. There was also fertility control agents in water supply, encourage women to work. Under economic deterrence, there was suggested a child tax, a substantial marriage tax. And on, in this list, there was also chronic depression. Under social controls, Jaffe talked about compulsory abortion of out of wedlock pregnancies, compulsory sterilization, payments to encourage birth control, payments to encourage abortion, abortion and sterilization on demand, and so forth. So, as I said, I always thought that was interesting that shortly before Day gives his speech, this memorandum was made public. Actually, when I say public, it was actually published in a Planned Parenthood journal.
And I think it's so interesting, of course. We still have the marriage tax today. In other words, it's going to cost you more, much more money to get married from the tax point of view than if you stay single. Why is that? Well, because they don't want you to get married, but they will not tell you that's the real reason behind it. Oh, we just don't know what to do. We don't know how to get rid of the marriage tax. No, they really don't want people to get married because married people have children, and they don't want them to. So they use the tax system to manipulate the public, and the average person has no idea what's going on. Everybody just sort of assumes, well, they must be incompetent in Washington, D.C., and they're not incompetent. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know.
Yes, that's right. According to Day, the best way to promote sex without babies on a worldwide scale was through the use of sex education. That's cradle-to-grave sex education. The ostensible reason given to parents for the introduction of sex ed, explicit sex ed in the schools, was it would prevent VD and out-of-wedlock pregnancies. And so schools have been charged with indoctrinating children in the use of contraceptives. So by the time they complete their 12 years of elementary and secondary education, sex and contraceptive use would be virtually instinctive. You know, Stan, a lot of times you'll hear, well, there's more promiscuity among the young. They're engaging in all forms of sexual perversion. There's more VD. There's more out-of-wedlock pregnancies. Abortion has increased. This means that sex education isn't working. It's just the opposite. These programs have been a roaring success.
And I think that's so important. I never forget back in, you know, in 1966, we were debating this, and I wondered, and the teacher said, "Why, we want to help the children. This is what it's all about. Do you want little girls getting pregnant?" Well, at that time, maybe one or two girls in a high school class, and, you know, of 1,000 or so would be pregnant. Now, sometimes up to a half of them are pregnant, and certainly all of them, almost all of them, have had sexual relations. You're absolutely right. It was a roaring success. It did exactly what they wanted. It increased promiscuity, but of course, supposedly it was going to be contraception, and yet, of course, we have so many out-of-wedlock children. Today, 75% of black children are born out of wedlock. 25 to 30% of white children are born out of wedlock. They did a great job.
Yes, they did. And by the way, you mentioned abortion. Abortion, said Day, would be legal and tax-funded very soon. He said it was a backup for faulty or omitted contraception. And one, it was 1969, you know, the Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade wasn't made public until January 22nd, 1973. So here he was with his little crystal ball forecasting 4 years before the fact. And I guess I'm a little puzzled, Stan, because over these last, years since that the Supreme Court decision, there have been tons and tons and tons of papers, juridical papers written on the Roe versus Wade. And yet not one has simply stated the reality, which is abortion was legalized because it was planned that way.
But of course, what they did, of course, when they killed off all the unborn children, about 50 million, and then there wasn't anybody to pay into Medicare. And so now Medicare and Social Security are going bankrupt because they forgot that if you kill off all the children, who's going to take care of the elderly? And now we have 75 million baby boomers, somewhere between 73 and 75 million baby boomers are going to be certainly retiring in the next 20 years, and there's going to be no young people or very few young people coming into the workforce to replace them. That's one reason we allow the illegal immigration. We encourage it. We want some people paying into Medicare and Social Security, because soon they're not going to be anywhere near enough to fund it.
Well, you know what? The New World Order has an answer for everything. I'm going to get to that in a moment because they already have in mind what they call the demise pill. But before I talk about the demise pill, let me just mention that one of the reasons why they would want to promote homosexuality, for example, was the benefits of sodomy is that it's a sterile act. But only 3 months after they made the statement about about encouraging homosexuality, we had in June of 1969, we had the Stonewall riots breaking out, heralding a new era of gay liberation. That's really interesting. And all of a sudden, millions and millions and millions of corporate dollars go into the gay liberation movement.
So much of it comes from the Council on Foreign Relations Corporations and the Bilderberger Corporations and the Trilateral Corporations. They're funding this whole gay liberation movement, and the gays don't realize that they're simply pawns in the game because they die much younger. One in three lesbians gets breast carcinoma, but they're not going to tell the young people that. You go right ahead.
Well, going back to marriage, they said that marriage would become more and more obsolete. Couples would just choose to shack up, and there would be multiple partners for both male and female. So that would become the rule and not the exception. On the question of divorce, he said it would become very common. Infidelity would increase as more and more women left the home and entered the workplace. Family instability would increase as women were encouraged to work outside the home. He even had a little bit to say about baby dolls and other maternal toys. He said these would be played down, and in its place, girls would be encouraged, and sports would be promoted for them. And so you'd have these unromantic photos of sweaty girls featured on the front page of sports sections of the newspapers. And you know what? That's exactly what you see these days. You have the unisex haircuts and the gender-bending styles. All of this would be encouraged. And although he didn't use this phrase, much of his text was directed at the masculinization of women rather than the emasculation of men. With regard to education, there'd be a general dumbing down. Children would go to school longer and learn less. I can see parents out there shaking their heads. Yes, they understand that quite well. Entertainment would promote every form of deviant sex. Day used the term that he said that porn would come into the home via videos. Well, in 1969, I don't think VCRs was in the American lexicon, but he knew. They were on the drawing boards, and he knew that the porn would come into the home using the VCRs. Music and lyrics for music, especially for the young, would be very sexually explicit and violent. He said there'd be violence, more violence, among youth, especially violent games to accustom them to killing. so that the reality between make-believe killing and real killing would be blurred in their minds. When Dr. Dunnigan heard this particular comment, he made he kind of starred that, because he said this was one of the first indications Day gave that this new world system would probably involve violence and killing on a fairly large scale for those who would not sign on to the system. Clothing styles. Here again, he pointed out that for teens, the clothing would become more sexually provocative.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment, Randy. And we certainly see the sexually provocative, certainly a very tight, low-cut jeans, you know, with the stomach sticking out there for the young girls, and very, very tight jeans for the boys.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
nation for many years. And I said, but basically Randy was talking about how certainly Dr. Day back in 69 was talking about certainly the whole idea of everybody was going to have to be chipped. And then, of course, the idea of the demise pill. And really, the demise pill was simply what would be taken by the elderly people when they suddenly reached a certain age. And then you pick up the story there about the demise pill. He was talking about this in 1969. Now, remember, this is a professor. And you can go up on the Internet. They have his obituary from the New York Times talking about when he died. You can go Dr. Richard Day, professor of pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh, and his obituary is certainly there on the Internet. He was a very prominent individual, and he's telling these young doctors what the future is going to be like. This is 1969. Pick up the story.
Well, he actually gave an example. He said that the children could hold a banquet to celebrate their life of their elderly mother or father, and then they would go to a center where they would be administered a demise pill, and then their bodies would be disposed of. And, you know, Stan, when I heard of this, I thought back to that very famous movie, Soylent Green, in which the elderly and infirmed are administered lethal injection, watching a beautiful pastoral scene and listening to Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. And the clinker is that their bodies are recycled as food for the masses because that was simply more efficient. It's a chilling affirmation of the quote that is attributed to a number of Planned Parenthood devotees, and that is, birth control without death control doesn't make sense. So if you have birth control at one end, you need to have death control at the other.
And let me just suggest that as far as the death panels are concerned, President Obama has said there are no death panels in my health bill. And that's true. He's telling you the truth. The death panels were in the stimulus bill, and they set that up. And the panel is led by Zeke Emanuel. He is Rahm Emanuel's brother, and as Zeke Emanuel has said publicly, written about it, we have to do away with the Hippocratic Oath. It's time doctors quit being concerned about their patients and thought more about what's good for society. So this is the death panel that has been established under the stimulus bill. But nobody's going to tell you about that. They're going to say, look, there's no death panel at all in the Obama health care bill, and they're telling you the truth. Go right ahead.
Okay, Stan, let's switch to the global economy, because Day had a lot to say about U.S. trade and so forth. And it was also a major theme of his talk. He said that no nation would be self-sufficient and independent, that the United States had to trade her so-called Declaration of Independence for a new Declaration of Interdependence. And he described in detail how every nation would be assigned their specific role in the world. In other words, they would give in their assigned economic base by these new faceless taskmasters. And each country would be assigned this role as part of the overall vast global planning worked out by these new New World Order's captains of industry here. For example, by 1969, Day said, the United States had already been designated. It was to be an information, agricultural, educational, and technology center, and was to be the cornerstone of this new world system. He said that most of the heavy industry, especially the steel industry, would be shipped overseas. Now, I'm speaking to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, once known as Steel City and home of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And today, as you're driving along the Parkway East going into Pittsburgh, all the steel mills are gone. There's only a few left, and they're not, they're not large. They're simply to be used in emergencies. And they have been replaced by office buildings for technological industries as well as recreation.
Well, Randy, they've not only sent our steel industry overseas intentionally, they've sent our electronic industry overseas. Try to buy a television set made in the United States or a cell phone made in the United States. They sent our textile industry overseas. Sydney, they're in the process of destroying the fishing industry. They're in the process of destroying the oil industry. They've shut down offshore oil drilling. They've destroyed our lumber industry. They know exactly what they're doing. The last thing, though, is they want for the stupid American people to find out that this is all part of long-range planning. And we're going to be right back here with Randy Engel as we discuss the new order of the barbarians. Well, Dr. Stan back here, Randy Engel's our guest, and of course, Randy, really, it's for the average American, it's so difficult to believe that these things could be going on, that they could be planning to destroy the industrial base of America, and yet, of course, all you have to do is look and see what's going on, how we are actually rewarding the companies that move offshore by, they don't have to pay any taxes. They're American corporations, they don't have to pay any taxes overseas, or they get special loans to ship their industrial base over there. Why, it's just too good an offer to pass up. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, he indicated, you know, what the U.S. role would be, but he also mentioned specifically the role of Japan. He said that Japan had been designated as the automobile-producing center of the world, and that meant that the United States would have to de-emphasize its own auto industry, and Americans would have to start buying their cars from Japan. Now, how do you get Americans who in 1969 were really well satisfied with American cars, how do you get them to switch over? Well, Day had an answer for that. He seemed to have an answer for everything. His answer was that inferior parts would be introduced into American cars. Parts made, usually made of metal, would be made of plastic, and they would be more likely to break down. These would be nuisance items. Car door handles would fall off. That was one example he gave. And pretty soon Americans would start to think, well, maybe Japanese build cars better than Americans. And so if you, as I said, at the very beginning, the planners know exactly how people react. And if they want a certain, if they have a certain objective, they can easily manipulate public opinion to achieve that particular goal. Now, as an aside, he talked about the shipping of heavy industry abroad would obviously lead to unemployment and discontent. And it was in this connection that he mentioned that there would be a return of the law of the jungle. And he used, for example, he talked about drug use, and he indicated that drug use would be encouraged. There would be drug education in school.
Hold that thought, Randy. I want our listeners to all hear this. We're going to be back in just a moment with Randy Engel as we talk about the new order of the barbarians. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Randy was just simply talking about the fact that back in 1969, Dr. Day was saying, look, they're going to shift the automotive industry to Japan, and how are they going to get the Americans to buy Japanese cars? Why are they going to start turning out inferior cars here in the United States, cars that don't last well, cars where maybe the handles will fall off, they're made of plastic. We will produce inferior cars in the United States so that the people will be willing to buy Japanese cars. That's everything is all, how do you manipulate the public? And then, of course, they talked about other plans that they had to alter the industrial base of America. America was simply to be a service center, and the industrial base, the manufacturing base, would all be shifted overseas. Now, this was 1969. Things were very well planned. Before we go on, Randy, I want you to put out your website, tell people how they get in touch with your ministry, because certainly you've been at this for a long period of time, and I'm really indebted to you for doing the initial interviews with Dr. Dunnigan. It's the only way I ever got a chance to meet him was because I heard your interviews, and I felt it was so incredible. I wanted to find out if it was really true, and so I talked to him, and I'm firmly convinced that everything he said is absolutely true, just as he had heard it back in 1969. Why don't you give out your information and how people can reach you?
Well, the easiest way of contacting the U.S. Coalition for Life is through our website, which is www.uscl.info. And if they go to our research library, they can find that infamous memo between Berlinson and Jaffe, and they can also find the entire text of the Dunnigan interviews, including my interview with him. I hope they haven't been distracted trying to take notes. This is all down. It's all available, and it's available for free. Although I will say that when you read the text, it's not really half as impressive, won't you, Grace? Agree, Stan? As actually hearing Dr. Dunnigan talk about there's something about the human voice that he can convey Jay gave his presentation so accurately.
No, it's really a very impressive tape set, and I'm indebted to you for certainly recording those three initial interviews. Well, let's go ahead. You were beginning to talk about some other issues. You talked about how suddenly everything was going to shift as far as automotive to Japan. Now, I think maybe they've changed the plan a little bit. Right now, of course, China is coming on as the major automotive producer. They'll be producing probably 12 million cars this year, probably 18 million cars next year, unless the recession gets in. But we're down to about 10 million cars. We used to produce 18 million. We're only producing 10 million now. China's producing more cars than we are. But don't you worry, General Motors is the ones that's producing the cars in China with your tax money. Remember, we gave them $50 billion to actually open factories and make new jobs, and that's what they're doing. But yeah, the factories are opening are in China, and the jobs they're creating are in China and India. Go right ahead, Randy.
Well, he talked about the return to the law of the jungle. This is the mindset of these people who are behind the scenes manipulating public opinion and making all these decisions for people. They tend to think about, elimination of the unfit. Of course, they're not the unfit. It's just eliminate the unfit, usually meaning the poor or those with less education. But I had mentioned about drug use. Day said that drug use would be encouraged, and drug education would increase in schools, and of course that would mean there would be more drug use. He said that drug use was especially a very helpful tool in eliminating the unfit and those who weren't worthy to take up space on planet Earth. Now, you ever heard of more elitist attitude than that? I don't think so.
And that was perhaps why today in the United States, the land of the free, if you are a young black man between the age of 21 and 31, one of three is either in prison, probation, or parole, because there's Dr. Day didn't bring this out, but there's a strong racist element among the elite who rule America, a prejudice against blacks. But go right ahead.
Well, you know, there was shades of racism peppered throughout the Day talk. He made, for example, the reference to Africa. He said the continent was so rich in natural resources, so rich, in fact, that it needed bright minds, not incompetent native populations, to develop. And so we have AIDS, which has decimated so many countries in Africa. And this opens up the possibility of new developments by what he termed, more civilized individuals.
But of course, Dr. Day talked about how they were going to create new diseases, to kill people. And Dr. Dunnigan commented that when he heard about AIDS, he wondered, could AIDS be that new disease they were talking about?
Yeah, Yes, Dr. Day said that new, now this is the phrase he used, if new diseases would be introduced that would be hard to diagnose and treat. Now, would be introduced indicates, at least to me, that this was a deliberate act, that new diseases would be introduced deliberately that would be hard to diagnose and to treat. And, of course, you're right, AIDS comes to mind. And many years later, when Dr. Dunnigan was reminiscing and going over his notes, when he was confronted as a pediatrician with the AIDS issue, he thought back then on what Day said and wondered if AIDS was not a man-made disease. Let's switch over to agriculture. Day said that food production would be tightly controlled, and I think this is in connection with the reality that large conglomerates have taken over food production and forced out small farmers and cornered the market on seeds. Weather control. 1969, Day said that we could now control the weather. And he said, I mean real control. And he alluded to the fact that weather control could be used as a weapon against uncooperative nations, and that they could create drought during the growing season and torrential rains during the harvest season. What I hadn't known until rather recently was that when Dr. Day was in the armed forces, he was in the unit having to do with weather control. I thought that was kind of interesting. So when he was making this remark, he actually was doing it with this type of background. Here's one that's going to hit, I think, your listeners really full on the front, and that is his remarks on terrorism. In 1969, Day said that world terrorism could be controlled or manipulated by the New World System as a means of moving the system forward. And he said that most of the acts of terror would take place in Europe, but terror might be introduced at home if the plans for the New World System were not moving fast enough. And he said that terror had a number of purposes, but its primary purpose was that Americans would be willing to trade in their freedom and their constitutional rights for greater security. He said that Americans had it too good, and it was necessary for them to realize that the world was indeed a dangerous place. Whether he was referring to the 9/11 eventuality, I think that probably was a distinct possibility. Day talked about banking, and he, in 1969, credit cards were just coming into common usage, but he not only talked about credit cards. He also talked about debit cards, which came in, of course, quite a bit later. And he talked about how credit card debt would soar, and this would become a real problem. But, of course, this would only be a problem for incompetent people who couldn't control their spending. And now, Stan, I'll come to because I saved the best for last. Day had quite a bit to say on the subject of religion, and he said the New World System, they recognized that this was a need. People seemed to need religion, and therefore the New World System would provide a new religion, but it would be a religion that would be empty of dogma and doctrine and morals. It would be kind of an ecumenical composite of elements taken from all religions, a little bit of Hinduism here, a little bit of Catholicism here, and its function would be to make people feel good. And he said that there would be gradual changes, for example, in the Bible, to accommodate this new religion. And he said, in this way, the New World System religion, that would be the entity that would define what was moral and what was not moral. And Day stated that the Roman Catholic Church, once that church was brought down, all the rest would follow. And then he capped it off by saying, you think the churches will oppose us, but I tell you, they will help us. That was probably one of the most frightening statements that Day made.
Well, so much of it was frightening, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, they knew exactly what they were doing, and I'm sure they'd already well infiltrated the Catholic Church and well infiltrated the Protestant Church, and they had their people in the seminars turning out people who would go along with this new world religion, because remember, along with the new world order is a new world religion.
Well, what Day didn't know. You know, a man proposes, but God disposes. And while Day was given his talk in 1969, there was an authentic grassroots movement that was growing, and that was the pro-life movement. And I think that one of the unacknowledged fallout of the pro-life movement has been to put a significant dent in the timetable of the New World Order. And now, why would I say that? And I say that because it's really already been acknowledged publicly. In 1970, in the early 1970s, there was a National Institute of Health meeting on mental retardation. And the keynote speaker talked about the potential danger of the Right to Life movement. And he made this statement. The recent coalescence of the Right to Life movement into a national force of significant proportions, I believe, has been a surprise to us all. To some, this is an unwelcome development. Of course, at the time, he was referring to the pro-life movement's opposition to eugenics. But I think it could be applied to the other issues as well.
Well, I think one of the things that that Dr. Day said that really hit me very much as a physician was the fact that they had treatments for cancer. They were going to keep them locked up in the basement of the Rockefeller Foundation, or words to that effect. Because, after all, people had to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And, of course, if that isn't a chilling statement, but that's exactly what Dr. Dunnigan reported. People are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And when you see people die, slow, lingering, horrible deaths, did you realize that these wicked, wicked people have the treatments for it? And there are treatments today that are being actively suppressed. They know they've spent, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, doing the research. They know all about genetics and genetic engineering and how to control the cancers genetically. And they've suppressed the information. And people are dying regularly. Totally unnecessarily.
Yes, and of course he said that was one of the benefits of war. He said, imagine what would the degree of overpopulation be if the men killed in World War One and Two were not killed. It seems so crass, so anti-human to talk in this fashion, and that's why we call the tapes the New Order of Barbarians.
Well,
it
is incredible. It's crass. Do these other people have a different worldview? And this is what's so hard for people to understand, is there really are people like that. But then, of course, there are many people like that in Hitler's Germany. And what is so amazing to know is that so many of the scientists who carried out these horrible, gross, brutal experiments on the helpless people in the concentration camps, many of them were helped to escape to South America in something known as the RAT Line, R-A-T. Line. It was set up by, of course, people within MI6, people within CIA, and a small satanic contingent within the Vatican. Go up in the internet, look up the RAT Line. Well over 10,000, some people say 20 or 30,000, of the most vicious of the Nazis were gotten out of Germany with the help of the CIA OSS initially. But, of course, these wicked people were allowed to stay in South America. And remember, if we would rescue the Nazis then, what does that say about perhaps certain forces within our society who have no respect for human life, in fact, worked with the Nazis during the Second World War? Incredible to even think about, but that's a subject for another evening. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, Well, I'd like to leave the listener with some thoughts. I don't know if you call them positive thoughts, but I think there are things to think about. Often when I talk about the day tapes, people say, well, you know, what's the answer? Well, you know, we don't have a crystal ball, and we don't know, as I said, man proposes, God disposes. So we don't know what is in God's plan. But I think everyone needs to get, first of all, to get their spiritual life in order. And I think they have to lead a more simple, family-centered life and promote religious and ethnic and cultural traditions in their own families. On a practical level, I say don't give the enemy access to your brain. You know, POWs during the Second World War and then the Korean War and the Vietnam War, some of them managed to survive by breaking their eardrums so they couldn't hear enemy propaganda. Well, we have to do the same. We have to shut off the mass media and so that we can begin restoring our thinking processes. Don't use a politically correct language. Words are weapons. Don't use the language of your enemy. As I mentioned earlier, don't leave your children in the dark with regard to health and medical issues. When you go to the hospital, make sure you have an advocate with you at all times. Get a survival handbook at your local Army and Navy store. Go over some of the important points with your family members.
Hold that thought, Randy. We're going to be back in just a moment, but Randy's right. You're going to have to isolate yourself from the wicked world we live in today. Randy, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I think the question that is probably on the minds of every listener is, what possessed...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
I think it's available in CD as well. It's the only set that we have, or we actually have a transcript of the three tapes that Randy did. It's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you have this information now. You can go up on Randy's website, and you can certainly just, if you have a search engine on your computer, you put in Randy Engel, get your website, and you can read the transcript, but we hope you'll want to get the tape set as well, and because we do give Randy something from every tape set we produce, because she was the inspiration for this whole incredible story. There really is an elite group out there. It centers around the Rockefellers. And, of course, if you don't know, David Rockefeller is the honorary chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, is the honorary permanent chairman of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission, and he actually created the Trilateral Commission. He was a founding member and permanent member of the Bilderbergers, and certainly the Rockefeller Foundation finances most of what's wrong in America today. And what they don't finance, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, and many of the other foundations fill in for them. If you haven't read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. You need to get the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. I read this book back in certainly about 1964, and it shattered my life. To realize that the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation were financing communism. Why, communism was an enemy over in Russia. No, communism, that's what you're supposed to believe. So it reminds me of tonight watching television at dinner. And what did we see? Why, we saw the pictures of the oil streaming out there from the base of the Gulf of Mexico. The only trouble is they got a cap on the well. So why are they showing us the oil streaming up? Well, they don't want you to forget it. Your mind is being manipulated. This whole thing, I really don't know the cause of it, but I will tell you, they could not do such a bad job unintentionally. This whole thing is to shut down offshore drilling and, of course, then certainly make America dependent upon other nations to destroy the oil industry in the Gulf of Mexico, to get through the cap and trade bill, to get us out of our cars, to get green electricity, drive up the price of electricity, which will drive certainly more factories out of our country, lower our living standards. That's what it's all about. But they can't tell the American people what they're really up to. You need to get the four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, and I suggest you get the transcript. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have a four-tape set on oil. You need to get that. You need to get the material on sustainable development. We actually have the United Nations Agenda 21, and we have the Santa Cruz Agenda 21, and they'll try to tell you, quite frankly, they want to get you out of your car. They want to get you out of your home into a sustainable community where they can watch you all the time. One of the things that Dr. Dave was talking about was pretty soon they would have television sets that could watch you. Well, of course, that was 1969. Today, on the laptop computers, they have a little camera. They have a little camera there, and you can talk to your friends on the, and you can see them, and they can see you. But remember, they can also watch you. If that the lid of your computer is open, they can watch what's going on in your house as well. Understand, they listen to every one of your telephone calls. We have a DVD called the Surveillance Society. The Surveillance Society, and Catherine Albrecht has helped to put that together. You need to get it and understand they listen to all of your telephone calls and your emails, and it's all done by computer, but it's all recorded permanently. Everything you say, ladies and gentlemen, remember, you're being listened to. This is not imaginary, it's real. We still have copies of Jesse Ventura's book, The American Conspiracy, and we have, of course, Alex Jones' great DVDs on The Invisible Empire, and certainly on Police State 4. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, we'd love to hear from you. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection. To ask my producer to get our caller back. I'm afraid we lost him. I think I lost him. Anyway, this is Dr. Stan coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lee Penn. And Lee does a wonderful job writing on all sorts of subjects. We interviewed him last week on population control, but he's written a treatise on Pope Benedict XVI. Now, Lee's coming from a Catholic point of view, so it's much easier to talk about the Pope with a Catholic than with a Protestant. And so, Lee, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me on tonight and for giving me a chance to discuss these issues on the air with you.
Well, that's why I do what I do, is to give people who have something to say a voice. So I'm going to let you just tell our listeners, who may not know you at all, who you are, what you do, and why you're concerned about this latest release information from the Pope Benedict the 16th.
Okay. My name is Lee Penn, and I've been a journalist off and on since the mid-1970s, but pretty much continuously since 1998, and I ventured back into journalism in the late 1990s because I had become increasingly alarmed by the threat of global government, threats to peace and civil liberties, and threats to religious orthodoxy and the rise of heresy in the churches, and I began writing articles, first for New Oxford Review about the United Religions Initiative, and then for other conservative, orthodox, and traditional magazines for various confessions since then. And in 2005, I published a book called False Dawn, the United Religions Initiative, Globalism, and the Quest for a One World Religion, which was a book-length treatment of the problems posed by the United Religions Initiative, by the New Age movement, and by the various utopian groups that foster globalism and one-world government. I've continued to write about these matters since then, especially for the Journal of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and I've been had some of my work published as well on an overseas Catholic website, mgr.org. And what it comes down to is that I discovered, to my horror last summer, is that Benedict XVI, the Pope of the Church that I am a member of, I've been Catholic, after all, since 1995, and I'm still Catholic, Benedict XVI has gone over to the dark side and now explicitly supports global government.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Why do you say he supports global government? What has he done that's convinced you of that?
He's written an encyclical, one of the most authoritative levels of teaching that can be made within the Catholic Church, called Caritas in Veritate, Charity in Truth, That encyclical was published in June and July of last year, and it explicitly calls for global government and for political collectivist management of the world economy.
But of course that would mean that here in the United States we would lose our constitution, we would lose our freedom, we'd have the same freedoms that exist in Mexico or China.
That's right. So if you want, I can start going in detail into the various parts of the encyclical where Benedict lays his vision out. It's a strange vision, a cross between political and economic utopianism and religious conservatism. And I think he may imagine that somehow he and other religious traditionalists can create this structure and sort of ride the tiger and direct the tiger to go where they want it to go. In this, I think he is most sadly mistaken.
Well, I think he is too, but you see, well, of course, we're told that the Pope is infallible. Now, as a non-Catholic, I don't believe that. I believe that the Pope is a man selected by men. But be that as it may, I think this is a dangerous idea. A world government is certainly Lucifer's plan. You go right ahead, Leah, because I think it's an important issue. This has been basically the objective of the ancient mystery religions down through the century, down through the millennia, to bring about this world government so that the Antichrist could rule.
That's
so,
right.
So basically, why would the Pope be advocating bringing about this world government?
Well, I'm going to read you some of the key parts of the encyclical, and you'll be able to tell, first of all, what he supports and how radical it is, and that this support for global governance is woven all the way through the encyclical. It's not just one or two paragraphs. Here's one section. He said in section 41, political authority involves a wide range of values that must not be overlooked in the process of constructing a new order of economic productivity, socially responsible, and human in scale. So there's your first red flag, the notion that political authority can be used to, quote, construct a new order of economic productivity. Then Benedict goes on to say that he responds to the world economic crisis of 2007 to date with this. The integrated economy of the present day does not make the role of states redundant, but rather it commits government to greater collaboration with each other. Wisdom and prudence suggest not being too precipitous in declaring the demise of the state. In the resolution of the current crisis, the state's role seems destined to grow as it regains many of its competences. So he's saying that the era of big government is not over. The era of big government is with us again, and he's happy about that. Let us continue. He defines what government is, and this ought to curl your hair. Quote, alongside economic aid, there needs to be aid directed toward reinforcing the guarantees proper to the state of law, colon, a system of public order and effective imprisonment that respects human rights, truly democratic institutions. So one of the two elements that he describes as essential to a rule of law is effective imprisonment. And building the definition of the rule of law, we Americans might think of the rule of law as based on a constitution, a bill of rights, a tradition of limited government, but Benedict is coming right out there and saying that effective imprisonment is one of the two pillars of the rule of law.
What is the other pillar? If effective imprisonment certainly would be could be used against anyone who dissents against what's coming down. What's the other pillar of this new world order?
A system of public order.
It's just public order and effective imprisonment. Well, that sounds very much like a police state to me.
It's basically they've got a fine old tradition, the Inquisition, that they can rely upon.
Well, wasn't he the head of the Inquisition before? I mean, at least that status before he became the Pope. Let's be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Lee Penn, who is a traditional Catholic, is discussing this latest encyclical by the Pope, which calls for a certainly effective imprisonment and public order. There's going to be increasing the power of the state. And he talks about certainly effective imprisonment and the necessity of public order. That sounds to me like they had in Hitler's Germany. They certainly had public order in Hitler's Germany. They had effective imprisonment. What about individual freedom under God?
That's to be defined by the needs of the collective.
But you see, the whole idea is we are not a collective. We are individuals made in the image and likeness of God, and answerable to God, not to the state. That was at least the concepts of freedom in America, where our power, the power of the state, was to be limited over the lives of the people so they could be free. Increasing the power of government takes away people's liberty. Liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. It would sound to me like the Pope is advocating total government control.
Correct. And let's reemphasize the violence that the notion of total government and collective control does to the very idea of creation. God created us, man and woman, in His image and in His likeness, so that one of the gifts that that creation in His image meant is that we had free will and free choice. And even when we as humans use that free will badly with the fall, He didn't take away the free will and make us into robots. He chastised us, but then left us a way forward through the old covenant and then into the new covenant to ultimately be redeemed. So free will remains. It remained then, it remains now, and if God did not see fit to take away our freedom, it astounds me that any human government should be so presumptuous as to take away our freedom.
Well, I think it's a dangerous precedent, and certainly, but anyway, go ahead. What are some of the other things in the encyclical?
There's lots more. The story just keeps getting worse and worse. He said, and this is section 42 of the encyclical, and I mention the section numbers just again to reiterate that this stuff, this collectivist global government ideology is scattered all the way through that encyclical. Quote, globalization a priori is neither good nor bad. It will be what people will make of it. We should not be its victims, but rather its protagonists, acting in the light of reason, guided by charity and truth. Okay, red flag number one here. It says, he's saying that we should be, a protagonist is a supporter, a leading actor. So he's saying we should, humanity should actively support globalization. Let's go back to Benedict. He says, blind opposition would be a mistaken and prejudiced attitude incapable of recognizing the positive aspects of the process with the consequent risk of missing the chance to take advantage of its many opportunities for development. And then I'm going to hit this, which is a critical sentence. The processes of globalization, suitably understood and directed, open up the unprecedented possibility of large-scale redistribution of wealth on a worldwide scale.
What he is basically talking about is the Marxist concept. Now, certainly I would like to see the people who have less, you know, certainly be able to improve their lot in life. But you do not certainly help improve the lot of the poor by taking away from the rich, certainly, because this just is not effective means of redistribution. What you want is a productive society so that everybody can benefit, not simply by force taking from one to give to another.
That's right. The forced redistribution has been tried on a world scale. That's what Marxist-Leninism was about, has been about, and it didn't work. Or rather, the only thing it did produce was tens of millions of dead people and concentration camp prisoners. And the issue, again, with redistribution and with government management of the economy is that there are no angels or saints or holy men or philosopher kings available to run this world economy. All that there are just ordinary people, the same old politicians, the same old bureaucrats, the same old businessmen, the same old corner cutters, just us to presumably be given this godlike power over our fellow men. It didn't work before. It will never, ever work.
Reminds me of what Aristotle said. You know, he said, talking about fiat money, he said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. And, of course, I'm sure he was speaking with tongue-in-cheek, because where did you ever get perfect authority? where did you ever get godlike wisdom in kings? In fact, our founding fathers of this country, our country, certainly did not trust men. That's why they limited the power of government. And I think Jefferson said it best when he said, you know, speak not to me of confidence in men. In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. In other words, he wanted to limit the power of government. Sounds to me like Pope Benedict wants to increase the power of government.
That's correct. So let's continue seeing what Benedict really wants. He says, the transition inherent in the process of globalization presents great difficulties and dangers that can only be overcome if we are able to appropriate the underlying anthropological and ethical spirit that drives globalization toward the humanizing goal of solidarity. Unfortunately, this spirit is often overwhelmed or suppressed by ethical or cultural considerations of an individualistic or utilitarian nature. Okay, let's stop here for a second and consider. He's saying that the goal of globalization is solidarity, i.e. collectivization, and that the opponents of it are guilty of individualism. Well, individualism, I think, is a virtue, not a vice.
And, of course, my contention is, and having studied this for 48 years, why, certainly, we're really talking about a Luciferian movement, this effort to have a one-world government has been the basic goal of all the secret societies and mystery religions and all of the various organizations from the Gnostics to the Templars to the Rosicrucians and to the Masons and the Illuminati and the New Age movement. They all want a one-world government. Why would the Pope of Rome be pushing exactly this program that is going to lead to the enthronement of the Antichrist? That really doesn't make sense.
Unfortunately, I think he believes that he can direct this whole thing. And what it comes down to, I'm going to again read some more stuff from his encyclical that lays out his vision. At the beginning of the encyclical, he says, practicing charity and truth helps people to understand that adhering to the values of Christianity is not merely useful but essential for building a good society and for true integral human development. Without truth, charity is confined to a narrow field of devoid of relations. It is excluded from the plans and processes of promoting human development at universal range and dialogue between knowledge and praxis. So here what he is tying the social practice of Christianity to this bizarre, gassy, global view of promoting human development of universal range and dialogue between knowledge and praxis. And then he goes on to say, the truth of globalization of the process and its fundamental ethical criterion are given by the unity of the human family and its development toward what is good. So he's saying that the underlying human historical process, not the divine process, but the human historical process is aimed toward the good. I think you and I both know better that what's at the end of the human historical process in the Book of Revelation is Antichrist, and not it takes divine intervention to bring us from that to the kingdom of heaven.
Well, in Saint Augustine, back, you know, writing back there, and what about the fifth century, but he was just saying, talking about the total depravity of men. You just could not accept men to be good. They were not inherently good, and men without God would just create all sorts of problems. But he looked upon the total depravity of men. That was one of the basic things that he wrote about. And here, what are we talking about, 1,600 years ago, when St. Augustine, you would think that the Pope of the Catholic Church would remember St. Augustine, certainly one of the pillars of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, total depravity is further than Catholics or Orthodox would go, but we certainly don't put our trust in mankind. We put our trust in Christ. But, again, Benedict is saying specifically, and contrary to St. Augustine, I'm going to quote you again from the encyclical. Man's earthly activity, when inspired and sustained by charity, contributes to building the universal city of God, which is the goal of the history of the human family. In an increasingly globalized society, the common good and the effort to obtain it cannot fail to assume the dimensions of the whole human family, that is, the community of peoples and nations, in such a way as to shape the earthly city in unity and peace rendering it into some way an anticipation and a prefiguration of the undivided city of God. Full stop here. St. Augustine certainly said that the city of man is a spiritual unity and a spiritual entity that is eternally opposed to the city of God.
Right.
How could the Pope have forgotten this?
I don't know. That term, city of God, did that come from Thomas Aquinas?
It was Civitate Dei. It was the title of one of Augustine's key books.
All right, fine. You're more of a scholar on this than I am, so I have to learn from you. Go ahead, Lee.
And I'm going to point out some of the paradoxical material in this encyclical, because it isn't as if it's a Obama-style radical screed, per se. All along the way, he offers defenses of traditional beliefs and morality, and he put these defenses have made the encyclical generally acceptable to most conservatives. He condemned the promotion of contraception and abortion and sterilization. He condemned the export of a, quote, anti-birth mentality, unquote, from the developed nations to the rest of the world. He said, quote, openness to life is at the center of true development, unquote. He said that, quote, God is the guarantor of man's true development, and he denounced, quote, the deliberate promotion of religious indifference and practical atheism on the part of many countries.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, those are things that we would certainly agree with.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Up the depravity and pedophilia and other corruption within Austria before he had become the cardinal. And because he had criticized the previous cardinal, the one who had preceded him, why he was officially rebuked and censored by Pope Benedict and told that no cardinal has the right to criticize any other cardinal, no matter what has happened, why only the Pope can criticize a cardinal. And this, of course, has put the cardinal, who I think probably is a righteous man in Austria, in a very defensive position. But if people are not allowed to speak out about depravity, and the church certainly has covered this up for years, and nobody's allowed to speak about it, even a cardinal, I think that a lot of Catholics are going to begin to question, you know, what sort of a church do we really belong to? This sounds to me like an authoritarian system that wants to cover up the truth and is still covering up the truth no matter what Pope Benedict has said. Certainly he said, we're going to bring this all out, we apologize, and then he's still covering from the cardinals who were certainly involved in this depravity.
Right. And to reiterate, what Benedict did was to reemphasize the power and position of the Vatican Secretariat of State, and that's the body that not only covered up for the molester Bishop of Austria, Cardinal Gror, but it also helped to funnel lots of money from the head of the Legionaries of Christ, the Maciel, who has since been proven to be a serial abuser and had several clandestine wives and produced several children out of wedlock, all while putting himself forward as a holy, righteous, and oh-so-orthodox leader of a religious movement that would save the church. And the Vatican Secretary of State did a lot to keep Maciel from getting investigated and deposed. So that, ultimately, Benedict is siding with the institution that was the bagman for this evil religious order and against a cardinal who was making noises in the direction of reform. So this is a move in the direction of unabashed, unapologetic, in-your-face evil on the part of the Vatican. And I've got to say this to give the warning that if the Vatican starts coming up with other inventions up to and including the possibility that they will proclaim somebody as the Christ who isn't, beware, don't go there, don't follow.
Well, I think we've got a real problem. We've got problems in all of our religious institutions, not just the Catholic Church, although they have such a profound influence. But really what bothers me, Lee, is that certainly I don't agree with much of Catholic theology, but I think that the foundations of Christianity certainly were carried forward by the Catholic Church, and there are many Catholics who cling to their Christianity through the Catholic Church. You destroy their belief in the Catholic Church, you're going to undermine their belief in Christianity. That is the frightening thing for me.
Yes. What's really sad is where people have put their faith in the church rather than directly in Christ.
Absolutely.
Now, I think that the fundamental teachings of the Catholic faith, the sacraments, the perpetual virginity of the Theotokos, all the stuff that is in the Nicene Creed, that stuff is still valid no matter how evil the administration is. But the problem is that the administration at this point has become quite evil, and you have to be very discerning and skeptical and careful in assessing what they do from here on and in assessing what they say.
Well, of course, my fear is that the present time, as I feel, we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and certainly at the far end of this period of chaos and crisis, there are going to be two alternatives. One is either to return to individual freedom by suddenly restricting the power of government, or the other will be this move towards globalization. And this has been the effort, certainly well-organized and well-financed, for the last 120 years since Cecil Rhodes created a secret society in 1891 intent upon bringing about a one-world government. And this organization has existed certainly ever since then in one form or another, and it exists today, and that is the primary thrust of American foreign policy. Americans don't understand that. They certainly probably, most of them never even bothered to ask themselves, why do we have troops stationed in 135 nations today? Why do we have 720 bases throughout the world? When we're told we're really communism, the Russians are our friends, the Chinese are our friends, and why do we have so many nations occupied? Why do we still have troops stationed in Germany? I hear 60 years after the war ended, and 65 years, and why do we have troops stationed in South Korea and in Japan? And well, people begin to understand that there really is this move towards globalism. Our leaders are really interested in bringing about the one world government. That's why we put so much money in the military. But we can't tell the common people. They've got to think we've got an enemy like Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave someplace. This is Dr. Stan Lee. Go right ahead.
Okay. Benedict, I'm going to smoke out more of Benedict's deceptive rhetoric in his encyclical. Here's one thing that has deceived quite a few conservative interpreters within the church. Benedict called for, quote, a dispersed political authority effective on different levels. The articulation of political authority at the local, national, and international levels is one of the best ways of giving direction to the process of economic globalization. It is also the way to ensure that it does not actually undermine the foundations of democracy. And all of this means that he does not want to build a fully centralized global regime. Later on in the encyclical, Benedict again stated a call for decentralization of political power in the context of global governance. And several times said that it was necessary to build the new regime on the basis of subsidiarity, which means that any function is taken up only at the highest level necessary to carry out the function. So what can be done at the city is done at the city. What can be done regionally is done regionally. What can be done nationally is done at the level of the nation, and only a few things are done globally. And the issue here is that this nod in the direction of decentralized authority, these invocations of subsidiarity, has essentially put a lot of American conservative commentators on this encyclical. This put them to sleep. It made them seem if Benedict has signed off on the 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And there's little basis for that reassurance. Benedict himself places a big caveat on the scope of subsidiarity and decentralization. In the very next paragraph of the encyclical, he says, the principle of subsidiarity must remain closely linked to the principle of solidarity and vice versa, since the former without the latter gives way to social privatism, and the latter without the former gives way to paternalist social assistance that is demeaning to those in need. And this is the exact same logic that the feds have used ever since World War I to justify their own ever-increasing centralization of power in the U.S. There's no reason to think that the new world rulers of a world government will have any more respect for localism or the virtues of decentralization than the U.S. government itself has done with respect to states, counties, and cities. And you and I both know how well the U.N. works or doesn't work. And we know how honest or not that organization is.
Hold on, Bob. We're going to be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
Well,
this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Lee Penn, and we were talking about the Pope's encyclical released here, and certainly most people have no idea what's in it. Now, certainly, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question for Lee, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Something dealing specifically with this encyclical. We don't want to get into a debate of, you know, Protestants, Catholics, things of that sort. But if you have something specifically in reference to what we're talking about, we'd love to hear from you. But before we go on, Lee, I'd like you to get your website out and tell people how they can get your articles. You've written a number of excellent articles. I've enjoyed reading them in the Spiritual Counterfeits Project magazine, Tal Brooks, the publication, but how can people get your material?
Okay, they can go to my website at www.leepenn.org, that's leepenn.org, and they'll find links both to an online copy of my book, False Dawn, and they can also find a link to an index of my online magazine articles, which includes most of the work I've done over the years for the Journal of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. In addition, they can go to CliffKincaidUSASurvival.org and search for the document we're discussing tonight called The Religious Face of the New World Order. Probably the simplest way to find it is to Google the phrase, The Religious Face of the New World Order, and along with my name, and you'll find a PDF file where I discuss in detail the globalist encyclical that Benedict has released. And there's a lengthy introduction by a conservative activist, Cliff Kincaid, which discusses, adds his own view of the meaning and context of this encyclical.
Well, Sydney, I mean, I haven't been reading a lot about this encyclical. Has it been covered very thoroughly with the Catholic press?
It's been covered fairly well within the Catholic press, and unfortunately, there is almost no dissent. It's generally being accepted as mainstream and as binding teaching of the Church. And the Vatican Secretary of State has stated that this is a binding Church teaching. The Knights of Columbus at their convention last summer passed a resolution hailing the encyclical. There was a synod of the bishops of the Church in Africa. They met in Rome last October, and they passed a resolution supporting Benedict's initiative for global government. So the high-level churchmen are drinking the Kool-Aid.
I agree with you totally, because basically if you study this, and I have studied this for a good long while, there is this organized effort, and of course they're doing everything they can to convince everyone that wouldn't we be much better off with a global government? And these people are clever, they're well organized, they're fabulously well financed, but behind them are truly demonic forces. And having studied them for years and see what they've done, as they've taken us from war to war and revolution to revolution, and they kill world leaders who won't go along with them, I certainly would never trust these people with the power to rule the world. They would misuse that power because they are not moral people, and you can't have people, you know, in any position of power without strong moral principles and fiber. And they believe that they have the right to rule, they're superior, they're an elite, and I'm really very, very concerned because the Pope has fallen in line with them, and he will lead so many people like the Pied Piper to their destruction.
I think you summed it up, that at this point, unfortunately, even we who are Catholics have to start thinking a bit like Protestants, and we have to give a second or third or fourth look at anything that the Vatican says from here on in. And we who are Catholics can and should stand by the traditional theology, the traditional rites, the traditional beliefs of the faith, but when the Vatican comes up with new stuff and says, oh, this is right for our times, or this is a new revelation, we Catholics have to say, no, we're not going with you on that. We're going to stay with Christ.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Marilyn, who's calling here, and she's from Elsa Bronte. Hi, Marilyn. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. In John 18:36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And I just want to ask this gentleman, given all we know about the Catholic Church and the fact that even as far back as the 14th and 15th century, Christians were calling the Pope the Antichrist, why would you join this church, you know, just, what, 15 years ago, if you truly want to be a Christian and worship
well,
the Pope?
But now I don't want to get into, Sidney, why people become Catholics. As you know, I'm a Protestant, and I disagree with some of the myths of the Catholic theology. The nicest thing is I'm not required under any circumstances to have anybody interpret things for me. So, but basically, you're absolutely right, Sidney. Christ's church is not of this world. Do you have any comment at all for Marilyn Lee?
The recent encyclical explicitly states that charity needs to be at least as much a political act as an act between neighbors. And when the Pope does this, he's explicitly denying the example that Christ gave, partly when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world," and partly the various saints of the church, up to and including St. John Bosco, who successfully started philanthropic and missionary orders in Italy during the time of the revolution against the papal states. In a very anticlerical time, the authorities in Italy nevertheless saw that this saint was doing great good for the poor children of Italy and gave him the means that he needed to continue spreading the gospel among the poor, even despite the ongoing Italian Revolution. Mother Teresa was carrying out neighbor-to-neighbor charity, not the kind of political action that Benedict is supporting instead. So Benedict has gone off the rails in this encyclical. I don't want to get into a Protestant versus Catholic debate. I think it's much too late for that. Almost no time remains. So,
I agree with you, Todd. What we need to do is stand with at least those members of the Catholic Church who are concerned about what's going on. And basically, of course, the old adage, if you can take from Peter to pay Paul, you can always depend on Paul's vote. And certainly, modern society is built upon the fraudulent concept of democracy, which doesn't work. Democracy always leads to despotism. That's what Plato said, and nothing has changed in the last 2400 years. Any parting thoughts, Marilyn, before we let you go? Because I don't want to debate Catholic Protestant, because you know I'm a Protestant. But did you have a question about the encyclical?
I want people to read Caritas in Veritate. It is definitely a wealth redistribution order. I mean, I think anything the Pope says is an order. You see the way world leaders go and literally kiss his ring. So we have got to really be careful, because he is now saying he wants to go out and make sure that people join the Catholic Church again. He doesn't like the secular world. And when he says that, I tremble, because I'm not a Catholic. That's my parting thought.
All right. God bless you. Thanks so much for calling, Marilyn. That was Marilyn from El Sobrante, and we've got Joe calling from New Jersey. Joe, do you have a question for our guest?
Well, hi. Hi there, gentlemen and Dr. Stan. I'm reminded of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, where the disciples wanted to know when would be the end of the world and a sign of Jesus' coming. And if you read that 24th chapter of Matthew, one very particular verse stands out as very prominent, and it says, "When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, let the reader take note of Daniel, and let them flee to the mountains." And that mountain is Jesus Christ.
Okay, fine. I think your point is well made, Joe, and thank you so very much. And certainly we are, I believe, of course, we're seeing the fulfillment of biblical prophecy as we're moving towards this one world government. We're told in Thessalonians 2:2, that certainly before the man of sin, and that's referring to the Antichrist, is revealed, why there'll be a great falling away from the faith. And I see this in the Protestant church. I see it in the Catholic church. But it's great. We have to cling to our faith, because that's the only thing that's going to sustain us. Would you agree or disagree with that, Lee?
I agree with you. The main thing at this point that people can do is to deepen their relationship with and their connection to God, establish a place for the Holy Spirit in their lives, to pray as much as possible for discernment, enlightenment, and for the courage and spiritual virtues, and also to pray for our enemies. That will mitigate this stuff to the extent that it might be mitigated.
And I will tell you that when you pray for your enemy, you feel so much better. When you just let anger and hatred consume you, why you're just totally miserable. But I've found through the years, praying for people and that I didn't like sometimes the most miraculous things would happen to those people. And so let me just suggest that you even pray for Barack Obama. I think that he needs all the prayers he can get. Because, of course, he's in a very, very, we won't talk about Barack Obama tonight. We're talking really about the Pope's encyclical. Is there anything else in the encyclical we should cover tonight, Lee?
The main stuff is out there. The encyclical explicitly calls for the redistribution of energy to poor countries, which is a great idea, but the question is who will decide what shall be redistributed from whom and to whom. And given the corruption of the UN, which incidentally a body which the UN, which the Pope specifically has stated within the last few years is an example of the kind of global authority he would like. Even though he calls for the reform of the UN, his reform mainly involves strengthening the authority of the UN.
And I think the UN is a totally godless organization intent upon the destruction of freedom. Apparently you can buy your votes there in the assembly, you know, for a couple of $100 you get any country to back whatever you're doing. I mean, it's totally corrupt. We've seen what's happened to their soldiers. And when they went into Katanga, they were raping and pillaging. The same thing happened in Darfur. Right now, of course, the UN soldiers are in the southern part of Lebanon. They're actually being attacked by Hezbollah and the people there, and they'll probably be pulling out. They're not going to accomplish anything. They were set there to keep the warring factions, the Israelis and Hezbollah, from clashing. They're going to be pulled out, and we're preparing for a war. The United Nations has not stopped war. I don't know. I've heard we've had 40 or 50 wars since the United Nations was formed. Does that really look like an organization that's going to bring about world peace?
Now, the thing that I remember most clearly about UN peacekeeping forces to demonstrate the utter impotence of it all is that before the 1967 war between Israel and the Arabs, there were UN peacekeeping forces stationed on the border between Egypt and Israel. And when Nasser and the other Arab leaders began ratcheting up their rhetoric and threatening to push Israel into the sea, and ultimately blockaded one of the seaports that Israel used off the Gulf of Aqaba, the UN responded by pulling their troops out.
Well, I really think that is an exact parallel to what's going on today, because, of course, the UN troops are now in the north rather than the south, and instead of being troops between Israel and Egypt, they're troops between Israel and Lebanon, and, of course, Hezbollah is in Lebanon, and the UN is thinking of pulling their troops out. But that is a prelude to war, just as it simply pulling the troops out in the south was a prelude to war in 1967 against Nasser's regime. So pulling the troops out today is a prelude to what I fear is going to be a major war in not only the Near East but the Middle East. I would point out that we now have either three or four carrier groups. This is not simply a carrier. This is 12 or 14 ships to go along with the carrier group. One of the most frightening, destructive things that you can have. Certainly a carrier group can simply wipe a country right off the face of the earth. They carry nuclear weapons, they carry conventional weapons, they carry massive weapons of destruction with 100 or more planes usually on those carriers. And we have not one, but three and probably four of them now converging on the Persian Gulf. And not a word in the media. What we do night after night, we see the pipe there in the floor of the Gulf of Mexico. And even though that they have the cap on and there's no oil coming out of the pipe, again this evening, just so that we wouldn't forget why we saw the oil billowing up, even though there's not happening at all today and hasn't happened for a couple of days. Ladies and gentlemen, your minds are molded, your ideas are formed, your tastes suggested by the people who control the media. They control our reality. Well, Lee, what can the average individual who listens to this story and the Catholic, I'm sure that a lot of Catholics should be very concerned about this. I'm tragic, I'm really saddened that many of the Catholic leaders have been taken in by all this talk about, well, we'll do these things at the local level, but once you centralize power, power is always misused. It always has been, it always will be.
Yes, that's right. For those of us who are Catholics, the in part, again, pray for our enemies within the hierarchy and to pray for their conversion. The second is to recognize propaganda as propaganda and to study this encyclical, understand what's in it, and to recognize what the problems are with it so that when the parish priest or when a director of religious education comes and says how great this is, you'll be equipped to say, no, this is wrong. And in general, it means distinguish between truth and lies and give no cooperation to the lie. And perhaps this is the year not to give any money to Peter's Pence, which is the special collection that's taken up for the Vatican. Keep your money at the parish level and give your money to traditional Catholic organizations that promote the faith as it always has been rather than these crazy innovations.
Well, are there simply traditional Catholic organizations out there that simply seem to be more local control than control from above?
There, people are going to have to simply check to see what's in their local area and to consult their consciences. I don't have specific advice to give you on that.
Well, of course, I do know that there really are, of course, some of the priests who still use the traditional Mass. I don't know if they've been excommunicated or not, but there certainly are, as you well know, there are certain priests who use the traditional Latin Mass. They've refused to go along with Pope John Paul the 23rd and their ready effort to undermine the fabric of the Church.
Yeah, I think that the great undermining may be occurring now, and it isn't so much John the 23rd that created problems, lethal problems, but what he may not have done, Benedict is certainly doing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that God works in strange ways, and although I would tend to agree with much of what John Paul the 23rd did, he encouraged Catholics to begin reading the Bible. That is an amazing thing. In fact, an awful lot of Catholics started reading the Bible and began reading, not what listening to what their priest said, but reading what the Scripture said. So God works in strange ways. We don't always understand it, but I do think that this has changed the hearts of many Catholics, don't you?
I think so. So the main thing I guess I would say is don't take any wooden spiritual nickels. Hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to Christ. Pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you...
hold that thought. We'll be right back. Our guest is Lee Penn. We'll be right back. Lee, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Refugees from Rhodesia. And remember, they only had 11 million people to begin with. Henry Kissinger said, if you'll just let us install your ruler for us, we will protect you and your freedom. You have nothing to worry about. And the stupid people in Rhodesia believed Henry Kissinger, who said he spoke for the American people. They installed a ruthless, tyrannical thug named Mugabe, who has traded communist China. We've kept him in power for almost 30 years now. And 5 million of the people have fled into South Africa today. The threats to actually bring the army in and drive them out and simply beat the people if they would not leave and go back to Rhodesia. There's no food. There's 95% unemployment in Rhodesia. This is the government the United States has kept in power for 30 terrible, bloody years. And we send money to the Rhodesian government for humanitarian purposes that finance the army and the police that are raping and pillaging. But you're never reading about this. You're never hearing about it in the newspaper. Occasionally, this is the government we've created. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And the refugees in South Africa today, tonight, are frightened to death because they're threatening this weekend the military is going to move against them and literally beat and drive the people out of the country. And where can they go? They have no place to go. They have no homes. They have no food. They have absolutely nothing. Refugees from a government installed by Henry Kissinger and the Council on Foreign Relations, which controls our State Department in 1980, and certainly with the Trilateral Commission, they control it today. And we have brought terrible tragedy to Rhodesia and so much of the rest of the world. And now we're really going to be moving, I believe, into an expansion of the war in the Middle East. And, of course, it could very well mean the deaths of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands or perhaps even millions of people. We do not know what the future holds. But believe me, if God is just, His justice will not sleep forever, and I fear He's going to move against America. And our job is to get the information out, let people understand what's really going on. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. It's a 3-tape set. You need to get the DVDs, The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone, and or the book that goes along with that. You'll find it fascinating. And, of course, there's so much more that Radio Liberty has to offer. You need to get my talk on the specter haunting America to point out that they have been destroying the lives of our children intentionally and purposely. 1 in every 9 American children is asthmatic. And you don't see that in the children who haven't been vaccinated. 1 in every 11 children has severe allergies. You don't see that in children who haven't been vaccinated. 1 in every 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental or learning abnormality. And you don't see that in children who haven't been vaccinated, and yet they insist. Vaccination is safe and effective. Well, it may be effective, but it certainly isn't safe. and there's done terrible damage. And of course, why are more and more people getting Parkinson's disease at 40 years of age? Why are more and people get dementia or Alzheimer's disease in America? You need to hear my talk on the specter haunting America. And the other thing you need to do is get Dr. David Aube's excellent DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda comes with a free, you get the DVD, but you get the free CD-ROM with thousands of pages of scientific papers, the information that the CDC doesn't want you to hear about. And then, of course, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, till we're together again, may the Lord be with you.
From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is Tuesday, 13th July 2010. It is good to be alive at the Power Hour. Or it's good to be live at the Power Hour. Thank you very much for joining us straight up top of the hour. We are so pleased to have you join us today. We are so pleased to be back on the air. If you're wondering where the live Power Hour was yesterday, well, remember a year ago to the date when we got struck by lightning? Well, guess what? Couldn't believe it, but right there at almost the exact hour, the Power Hour got struck again. We're up and running except for computers. Those are the ones that are down, so we have no computers today, but we are up and running at the Power Hour. The Power Mall was up and running yesterday. We had electricity out for Sunday and part of Monday. We're back on the air again, but what a coincidence. 1 year to the date. In fact, you know, I was standing in the same place doing the same thing, quilting at the time when it happened. Different quilt, same problem though. Couldn't believe it. Got hit by that big crack, and yeah, we had preserved the equipment this time by more advanced technology to protect it. And thank goodness we did, because my goodness, what a mess, what a mess. Anyway, we are so grateful to have you join us today at the Power Hour. We're very pleased to have all of you there, and we want to know more about what to do in an emergency. Why? Because it's going to be coming to all of us. Unfortunately, it will be coming somewhere near you. So I want to talk a little bit about what to do when you see the storm clouds coming in and you think you may have a problem. I'd like to talk about the preparations for an emergency, the realistic preparations of what each one of us can do when we think we're going to be out of perhaps water or whatever it is that we need. So we'll talk briefly about that. It looks like the oil cap is working. Is this going to be the final answer? I don't think so, but we'll watch and see, as is happening on television. I mean, they've got this new cap on. A lot of talk, I don't know if you knew about it over the weekend, about a solar eclipse, wondering if that was going to have a magnetic pull on the ocean, pulling up the oil even further. And at the same time, of course, they took the cap off and said oil is free flowing, but now, allegedly, and we don't really know for sure,
it's back down again. Avandia, hearings going to be held today or are being held right now in Washington on GlaxoSmithKline's favorite diabetic drug, Avandia. The revelations are absolutely staggering as to what we're being told today. My question, why weren't we told this in 2007? There ought to be some people serving time in prison for murder, as far as I'm concerned, with what has happened with the drug Avandia. I hope that none of our power team members were affected by this, and I hope that if you are taking that drug, that you're looking with your physician at an alternative, or you know what, even better, how about getting off the foods that cause diabetes? You say, oh, it can't be true. Oh, yes, it is. You can get off of those drugs if you do it correctly. There's all kinds of internet websites. If you know somebody on the internet, if you don't have it, go look at 30 Days to Raw. Seven people taken off of, they were off of insulin and type 2 diabetic drugs by the use of a raw diet and the use of a appropriate diet. You see, the processed foods were given to us for a reason. It creates illness, which creates medicine, need for more drugs, need for more quote-unquote medical care that they call. I mean, that's a poor excuse for medical care, if you ask me. It's the Band-Aid for the problem that they created in the first place. TSA, have you heard the new name for TSA? We all know it's a transportation, we'll talk about that. New Black Panthers. There is an attempt right now to create a black-white conflict, and it is working. The use of the voting precinct in Philadelphia for the New Black Panthers was the first event. Boy, I'll tell you, Fox News is continuing this. They are ginning this up as fast and as hard as they can. We're going to talk a little bit about Mel Gibson, since he's such a favorite of the Power Team for his movie Braveheart and Patriot, and of course the Christ. We want to talk about this poor guy. I mean, poor guy, is it poor guy, or is it he deserves what he's getting? We'll talk about Mel Gibson a little bit. Haiti, they need more money for Haiti. We've got to take care of Haiti. Why aren't we taking care of Haiti? I don't know. Seems to me that we should be taking care of the people in the United States, but it doesn't look like we're going to be doing that. Iowa poll out. Gee, I think we missed a break here. John, did we miss a break here? Are we going to just keep going? Guess who they want to be for president? Guess who the Iowa poll says should be president? We'll talk about that, as well as if you've not purchased your Forever stamp, better go do it. Forever stamps, it's going up again. Let's talk about the pros and cons of that one. And, of course, they say in Washington, if we don't get a handle on the spending of money, we're going to be bankrupt. We'll talk about that. And the email hoax, did you hear about that? It is a major issue that was sort of slid under the carpet. Well, we'll get to that. But let's get back to the oil. The oil cap seems to be working for now. Has the problem been taken care of? Is that the real problem? We really don't know. I'm going to have probably around the bottom of the hour. Let's get through some of this news, and then at the bottom of the hour, I'd like to hear from some of you on perhaps those in the area of the Gulf that know what's going on, perhaps those of you who are aware of the information that is taking place. Let's see what you have to say, because it is the information is so closely held. In other words, it's being safeguarded right now for BP. There's all kinds of rumors that Exxon may take over BP. Should they be allowed to purchase it? Why would they want to purchase it right now? Well, I'm sure that there would be contractual exclusions for all the liabilities involved in this little mess. However, big business is big business. So time will tell if the oil gushing cap is going to completely take care of the problem. Back to Avandia now. What in the world is going on with GlaxoSmithKline that would continue with a drug that they know is harming thousands? Oh, no, not thousands. Hundreds of thousands of people. That's right. Did they not learn from Vioxx, the anti-inflammatory, that allegedly killed 132,000 people? Now, you have an FDA who says, we're taking care of you. We are given gazillions of dollars to make sure that you're protected. So we're going to protect you, and we're going to look at all these drugs, and we're going to make sure they're